In this recording, I'm beginning with the assumption that you want to influence your partner. You want him to be open to considering what you're saying, and you might also want him to be willing to make some changes. Studies have shown that there's one thing that'll prevent this from happening faster than anything else. And that one thing is if you come into the conversation believing that your partner's thinking or actions are bad or wrong, when he might not see it that way. This might involve situations where you feel that he's been selfish or irresponsible, or that he's behaved inappropriately, or that his thinking is off base, or what he wants is unreasonable. Researchers have found that if you want to influence your partner, coming into a conversation believing that he's wrong is the last thing you want to do. Even if he may agree with you, if you come in telling him rather than asking him what he thinks, you'll arouse his natural defenses. And if he's like most people, you won't even have to say it to trigger his defenses. He'll pick up on your attitude. Sometimes there's really no way to look at things other than, this is just wrong. But most of the time, you have a choice. You can judge your partner's actions as bad, or just frustratingly different than what you wanted. You can judge your partner's opinion as wrong, or you can simply prefer your own opinion while acknowledging there's no way of knowing for sure whose is better. Actually, researchers have found that most of the time when people get upset with their partners haven't done things that are intrinsically bad for relationships. Once they get upset with each other, there's often plenty wrong with the way they interact with each other. But the initial things that set off disagreements aren't usually about right and wrong. They're about differences in values or priorities for which there's no generally accepted standard for what's better or worse. So how can you know where the line is between this is clearly wrong and this isn't necessarily wrong, but I don't like it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with what I like either? Well, there are some things that are uniformly bad for relationships, like lying, sexual infidelity, physical violence or threats, violations of privacy or personal space, and making irreversible unilateral decisions about things that you know your partner has strong feelings about. If your partner has done one of these things, consult chapter 5 in the book. On the other hand, if he hasn't done one of these things, it's probably not wrong. There's strong scientific evidence showing that there's more than one way of doing relationships that can work. Just because you don't like his perspective or his priorities or his way of doing things doesn't make them wrong. One thing that can be helpful is to ask yourself, if the roles were reversed and I did what he's done, if he was in my shoes, would he be upset with me? Or you could ask yourself, would every sane, reasonable person on earth feel that this is wrong if they were in my shoes? If the answer to either of these questions is, no, my partner probably wouldn't be upset with me, or no, there are probably at least some sane, reasonable people who might not be upset if they were in my shoes, that doesn't mean that you should just drop your complaint. There are probably many sane, reasonable people who would be upset if they were in your shoes too. It just means that there probably isn't anything intrinsically wrong or bad with your partner's behavior. But let's be clear that just because your partner's thinking or actions might not be wrong doesn't mean that you should just back off and let him do whatever he wants. There isn't anything wrong with your priorities or expectations either. And when you guys disagree, each of you needs to be willing to make some adjustments. The effective combination involves letting go of the idea that your partner is wrong and standing up for yourself when you need to, making sure that your wants, needs, and priorities count as much as his. Just don't make the mistake of thinking that they should count more than his. You might be reluctant to let go of the idea that your partner is wrong because you believe he won't change unless you convince him that he's wrong. But that isn't the way it works. Your accusation will actually weaken your influence. It'll arouse his defenses. He'll feel like you're putting him down, and he'll be less inclined to be respectful of your point of view. If your goal is for your partner to be open and flexible, you won't help him get there by being closed and inflexible yourself. You'll have much more influence if you communicate something like, "Look, this is how it seems to me, but you might not agree. You're an intelligent person, and if you see things different than me, I'm going to be respectful of that. I might have trouble understanding it, but there's no reason on God's green earth why my feelings should count more than yours." This is the attitude that'll foster openness and flexibility in your partner. And if it doesn't, there are other powerful steps you can take. They're described in Recording 6. But you don't stand a chance of being truly influential if you start out by implying that your partner is wrong in situations where his priorities, expectations, or his way of doing things are arguably as legitimate as your own. All right, so if any of this makes sense to you, stop this recording and go ahead and listen to Recording 3.0. It'll take you through the skills that are characteristic of people who are good at getting their partners to be receptive and willing to make some changes. If what I've been saying so far doesn't seem to be addressing your situation, keep listening here for a little bit longer. One reason why you might feel that your situation isn't relevant to what I've been saying could be that the main thing you're upset about isn't what he did or didn't do, it's how he talked to you. Isn't it wrong to be accusatory or defensive or dismissive or to act disgusted or condescending? The answer is yes. All of these things have been shown to be bad for relationships. But the thing is, if he tends to do one or more of these things during disagreements, the chances are very high that you also do your share of unhealthy things during conversations. They might not be the same ones that he does, but studies show that partners engage in disagreement-related offenses at pretty much the same rates. Criticizing your partner for how he reacts during a disagreement is like the skunk calling the pig stinky. It can result in a standoff with each of you accusing each other of behaving badly. You'll end up arguing about how you argue. Studies show that you won't get your partner to stop doing these things by criticizing him. He'll change as you get more skillful during disagreements yourself. Recordings 3.0, 4, 5, and 6 all talk about how your behavior during disagreements can change your partner's. Another reason why you might feel that your situation isn't relevant to what I've been saying could be that you're not necessarily feeling that your partner's actions are bad for relationships, per se. They're just bad in general. They're unhealthy or inappropriate according to a deeply held standard that you may have held all of your life. For many of us, there are some things it's hard to see as any way other than it's just wrong, even though we're aware that there are many people who don't feel the same way. To think any differently would be a violation of the principles that guide our lives. The problem is that if your partner doesn't share them, it's going to be difficult for him to be responsive if you imply that his behavior is wrong. But there are a couple of things that you can do that can help. First of all, you can say something like, "I realize that not everyone sees things the way I do, and I'm not necessarily above everybody else. If I did what you've done, you might not have a problem with it. But I don't think I can be okay with it. To me, it just seems wrong, and I'm not sure what to do about it, because I don't think you feel the same way. But I think I need to ask you not to do this sort of thing anyway. I realize that you would be just doing this for me, but I hope that if a situation would come up where you feel that I'm wrong, even if I don't, I would try and honor your feelings." This is really different than implying that God and everyone knows for sure that you're off base and you need to shape up. The attitude you take is your choice, but if you get a high horse attitude, you just need to realize that your chances of influencing your partner go way down. But what about situations where your partner actually shares your beliefs or standards about right and wrong? When he does something wrong, can't you just insist that he own up? In these situations, the main thing is staying off the high horse. Your partner will be most able to be receptive if you can say something like, "I think that's wrong. I mean, I'm not exactly in a position to be acting all high and mighty. I've done plenty of things that are wrong too, and if I do them again, you need to call me on it. But the shoe is on the other foot right now, and I need you to realize it." All right, hopefully some of these ideas have been useful to you, and you may be ready to benefit from recording 3.0.